As we come this morning, we want to talk about God's benefits package. In the 103rd Psalm, we see benefits for being a child of God. And because of those benefits, we should have a thankful heart.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Just Be Thankful for What You've Got. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Just Be Thankful for What You've Got.
Your Bible this morning to Psalm 103. 103rd Psalm. It is in the 103rd Psalm. I would like to read verses 1 through 8 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And as we come this morning, this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I want us to think on this thought. And we'll borrow the words from William Devon. And that is, you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls, TV antenna in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got. Just be thankful for what you got. As we come this morning, we want to talk about God's benefits package. In the 103rd Psalm, we see benefits for being a child of God. And because of those benefits, we should have a thankful heart. You know, we look at our lives and we see God doing great things. And I'm reminded of a song. I don't know all the words of the song. I just know the chorus of the song. And it says, send me forget-me-nots to help me to remember. Wow. Send me forget-me-nots to help me to remember. And so I just stopped by Bethany this morning to send you some forget-me-nots so that you will not forget the Lord. You know, sometimes I think about the animals. In one of the Psalms, it talks about, you know, they look to God and they are appreciative for what God has done for them. But sometimes we look at man and God has done so much for a creature that he's created in his own image, and yet we don't stop and say, thank you, Lord. There was a man who was in the woods and he saw a bear, and the bear came after him, and the man was trying to run, and he did the best he could to outrun the bear. When he saw the bear closing in on him, the only thing he could do is get down on his knees and start praying. And as he got on his knees and started praying, he looked up and the bear had stopped, and the bear was bowed down on his knees, and the man said, I'm praying that the Lord would deliver me from this bear. And he asked the bear, well, what are you praying for? He said, I'm thanking the Lord for this meal. thankfulness, thanksgiving. When we think about being thankful, be thankful for what you got. For what you got. Are you thankful for the taxes that you pay? Because that means that you are blessed with income. Are you thankful when you have to clean up your house after a party? That means that you have been surrounded by friends. Are you thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing? Praise God that you have a house. Are you thankful for all the complaining that you hear about the government? Because it means that you have freedom of speech. Are you thankful for the parking spot that you found at the end of the parking lot? Because it means that you are capable of walking and that you have been blessed with transportation. Are you thankful this morning for what you have? Sometimes it seems like we are more in a mode of complaining. I had a complaining spirit, and then the Lord convicted me about the message. You know, sometimes on Sundays there's a place that I like to go on my way in and get a little bit of breakfast, you know. And the last couple times, this was about a month ago, you know, I went and, you know, the service was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. I'm not going to tell you where it was at. I know this message goes on TV, radio, so I don't want to put any bad press on the place with the gold. No. But I said I wasn't going back. I wasn't going back because of the, and I haven't been back since then. And I said, well, my wife said, I'm just looking for a place I could drive and get me a biscuit and or a quick set and come on in. Because I usually get here, Dr. Jones, he beats me here in the morning. I usually get here about 6:45, 7 o'clock. Dr. Jones, he's already sitting back there, you know, with a cup of coffee and chilling, right? And so I stopped at Starbucks this morning. My wife said, they got breakfast at Starbucks. So I stopped there. And the sandwich was $5.50. I said, man. And all the way over here, in my spirit, it was just in my spirit. Right? And so I'm looking for Dr. Jones when I walk in the door, and he wasn't there. Because I was going to complain to him. I said, man, you know, we can just have a complaining spirit if we don't watch. And so that's why, you know, God would rather us have a spirit of thanksgiving than a spirit of complaining. I heard somebody say, whenever you are tempted to tell other people your troubles, that you need to realize that half of the people are not even listening, and the other half are glad you are getting what was coming to you. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't do any good to complain. You know, I tell people, when you complain, complain to God and turn it into a prayer. Turn your complaint into a prayer. We see up here, again, I'm trying to drive home this point this morning. Just be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for what you got. I know that's not good English, but that's the name of the song, right? Be thankful for what you got. If you can answer yes to all these questions, you are very rich compared to most humans who have ever lived. And you are almost certainly among the richest 20% of people in the world today. If you own a car, if you own more than two changes of clothing, well, If you have an indoor toilet, one that works. Do you have clean, drinkable running water in your house? Do you have a real luxury of hot running water in your house? Just be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for what you got. In the last year, have you had enough money every day to purchase all the calories you and your family need for good health? Do you have enough rooms in your house so that fewer than four people have to share a bedroom? And is there less than 1/40th of a chance that any babies born to your household will die before their first birthday? Wow. You are blessed. You are blessed. But let me roll on, because I'm trying to build my case to be thankful for what you got. If you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, your wallet, and some spare change, you are in the top 8% of the wealthiest in the world. Even if you got a little pocket change. Man, you are in the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. My. You know, all the aches and pains that we have. I'm not talking to the young people now. Somebody said, if you ever forget somebody's name, and you want to start a conversation to them, all you got to do, hey, how's that old illness that you was dealing with, right? Then that get them to talking, right? And then you might figure out who it is. You might remember their name, right? If you have ever experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture or horrible pains of starvation, you are, I don't like the word lucky, but that's what they had, luckier than 500 million people alive and suffering. And if you could read this message, you are more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read at all. Just be thankful for what you have. In the psalm this morning, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." We see that the psalmist starts out in verse 1 and says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." If you could put up that one, there you go. This is what Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary on the Psalms, it's called The Treasury of David. And this is what Spurgeon says about all that's within me. He said, "It is fervent. And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Look at this. "All my thoughts, my feelings, my understanding, my will, my memory, my conscience, my affection, my passions, everything that's within me, bless his holy name." That if you are truly thankful for the things that God has blessed you with, there ought to be something welling up deep down in your soul. And we see in the life of the psalmist, it welled up inside of the psalmist, and then it just came out. It's almost like the psalmist was trying to hold it in, and he just couldn't hold it in anymore, and he just said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." That sometimes, saints, we ought to just go through our homes and in our bedroom, open up our drawer and thank God for our socks. Thank God for your shirts. Then go down into your kitchen and open your refrigerator and thank God that you got some food in your refrigerator. Go look at the furniture that you have and thank God that you have a place to sit down. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And I'm just not talking, and the psalmist is just not talking about a casual thank you. He's not talking about a general thank you, but he's talking about a heart of filled with gratitude where it just overflows out of your life. All my thoughts, thank you, Lord. With my feelings, Lord, you know, where you feel it in your very core, and it shakes you at your core, the thanksgiving that you have for the Lord. Oh, you know what it was like when somebody blessed you in a way that you couldn't see, and just how thankful that you were. You know the feeling of gratitude, and that's the gratitude that we ought to have towards God with my mind, my will, my memory, my conscience, my affections, my passions. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then notice what it says here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. His benefits. This word benefits. Yeah, I was looking at, and you Hebrew scholars will appreciate this. And the rest of you appreciate it too, right? But that word benefits, it comes from the same root word. If you go and look, if you know how to use a Strong's Concordance and you look it up in Strong's, the word benefits and the word camel is the same word. Benefits and camel come from the same root word. You say, how in the world do you get benefits out of camel? Well, see, the way that the word was used, watch this. It referred to the camel's ability to go without water, and how when once you serviced the camel, that he was able to repay you in ways that you couldn't even think of. That because you took care of the camel. And so that's how the camel got his name. For in the Hebrew, is because it repaid his master in ways that the master couldn't even count. And so the psalmist says, Lord, you repay us. And not that we have done anything that you owe us anything. But the fact is that when you get in God's program, that there are benefits from being a child of God. Are you experiencing the benefits of being one of God's children? And we're going to talk about it this morning. And if you leave here today, and there's, if you can walk out of here and not be thankful, as we look at this 103rd Psalm, and not be thankful for the things that the Lord has given you, that you might need to check your salvation. Let me give you a brief overview before we get into the passage this morning. Of God's benefits. God's benefits. First of all, and this is an overview, right? So I haven't even gotten into the message yet. First of all, there's no probation period with God's benefits. God does not put his servant on probation, but he forgives their sin and gives them eternal life immediately. That there is no probation, that when you come to the Lord, it says that he forgives our sins in verse 3. No probation. You know, there's not a waiting time where God says, well, you know, let me check you out and see how genuine your salvation really is. But God says that the minute that you ask Christ to come into your life, quicker than quick, that you are saved. What about God's medical insurance? Well, he offers a great insurance plan. In the event of a medical problem, verse 3 says what? He heals all my diseases. He heals all my, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. What about God's life insurance? God's servants can cash in on his life insurance policy at death, because when you die, verse 4, it says he redeems your life from destruction. That word destruction actually means the grave or the pit. That God redeems your life from instruction. What a life insurance policy that we have. What about retirement? What about God has a great retirement program. When we look at God's benefits, The retirement program is beyond compare. God surrounds his servants with loving kindness and tender mercies all the days of his life, and throughout eternity, you will dwell in the house of the Lord. You can't ask for anything. But what a retirement plan. What about vacation and holiday? When the servant of God delights in the Lord, he provides paid vacation and holidays. Because look what it says in verse 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things. He satisfies you with good things. And then even sick and personal days, when the servant of God is sick or in need of a personal day, verse 5 says that he renews our strength like the eagle. God, that's the overview. Let's look at God's benefits. God's benefits. Benefit number one is that he forgives our iniquities. He forgives our iniquities. And I tried to take some of the names of God and put them in here to show us how it relates to some of the things that David is talking about here. First of all, Yahweh Tsidkenu. Now, I didn't use the word Jehovah, and I do that for a reason. If you want to know, give me an email, and I'll tell you why. Yahweh Tsidkenu, God our righteousness, that he forgives our iniquities. Brothers and sisters, think of the worst thing that you've ever done. In the recesses of your heart that nobody else knows, nobody had any idea if it was brought to light. You ever see them old cartoons when people would see something that would frighten them and their hair would stand up straight? Well, you know, some of us can't do that anymore. But something that if people knew about you, that it would make their hair, it would make them tremble, it would make their hair stand on end. Now, all of us. Somebody said, well, you know, the worst thing I ever did was take a piece of bubble gum that wasn't. No, come on, man. Let's be on. Come on now. All right. If that's the worst thing you did, you should already be in heaven, right? Oh, hallelujah. And so, what's one of the benefits? The benefits is that God knows your deep, dark secret. And that he's forgiven you. And that he's forgiven you. There's no amount of money that you can pay to have that peace of mind or that assurance that your sins are forgiven. Man, it's a blessing to know that whenever I stand before the Lord, that I don't have to give an account for my sin. But I have to give an account for my stewardship. I have to give an account for my service. Now, my sin might affect my service. My sin might affect my stewardship. But when I stand before God, I'll stand at the, according to Apostle Paul, it's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ to get a reward for the things that I have done for the Lord. And if my works have been pure, if I have not allowed my life to be overrun by sin, then I'm going to receive a reward of gold, silver, or precious stone. But if I've done works as a Christian that are worthless, and they are made of wood, hay, or stubble, that they'll burn up. But praise God, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Just Be Thankful for What You Got. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Just Be Thankful for What You Got, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Just Be Thankful for What You Got. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Just be thankful for what you got. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.